This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 25th of March, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. This week is going to be a short week. Remember, Friday is Good Friday, and then the next week will also be a short week. Monday is Easter Monday. So we have lots to talk about, and I guess the first question I want to throw out to the audience is, did anybody get hit by hail? Did anybody experience hail in the Coral Harbor area on Saturday? Afternoon, morning, afternoon, evening. There is a rumor, I guess it's a, this is what you call it, a rumor. Mr. Newry, good morning, sir. I was going to ask you, what you call it when people send around pictures and memes in the midst of a storm, a thunder and a lightning storm, and say that hail fell? I would like anybody that got pork in their head by hail, because that's the only way I'm going to trust you. The only way I'm going to trust you is that you experienced the hail yourself.
Not the forward.
Not the picture. Hmm. Right? That you experienced hail falling in Coral Harbor.
I haven't seen hail in a bit, right?
When did you see hail? Before, in life. I mean, when did you experience hail?
When I work over PI, it was hailing like crazy. And since I moved in Fox Hill, it was hailing like crazy.
I mean, no, listen, Fox Hill is a friendly community. I mean, I go to Fox Hill, they hail like crazy.
No,
I love it.
Hail, ice.
What are you talking about?
Ice. I've experienced hail in the Bahamas, New Providence, at least three times.
See, if you tell me Abaco...
No, I talk about Bahamas.
The extreme northwest territory of the Bahamas.
I reach out
where it get cold.
But hail.
I believe you.
But you never experienced hail at all? Really?
Not
in New Providence?
No.
I've experienced hail three times.
When I was in boarding school?
You see all kind of strange snow and stuff.
Right? Somebody tell me I get hit by hail. It was a snowball. I know it was a snowball. They told me it was hail.
The pictures I saw, the hail was huge. Right, the ones I experienced, it came in rain. It was like raining, cats and dogs, hard rain. And I remember working at Atlantis in the restaurant, and we came outside, and as soon as the ice hit the ground, it melted.
Yeah,
picking it up was like you only had like 3 to 5 seconds to pick it up, and it melted in your hand, nothing to hold. Right, so what I saw was like as big as your thumb.
Okay, in the picture or in real life?
In the picture.
Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, I've never experienced anything big.
For me, what happened, it looked very uniform, like an ice machine produced it. But the second thing that made me question whether this was actually in the Bahamas, like it could have been hail, is that there was so much hail on the ground at the same time.
So what I experienced, it melts quickly.
Right.
You don't get chance to pick it up, right?
As soon as you pick it up, your ambient body temperature melts it.
Yeah, it melts it.
Okay, so it is possible that hail fell in New Providence. I got two texts here. One said, had some hail out east a few weeks ago.
I don't know, for weeks, but go ahead.
Another text says, I'm being serious. It was not fun. The text said, hail was by me. It was not fun. It sounded like block was on my roof. Boy, I could tell you, I guess sue Mother Nature. If you set the precedent, sir. You set the precedent, and I will have the cookouts. I will fund that lawsuit. So it's possible that there was hail.
Yeah, it's possible it was hail.
Again, if anybody in the Western District of New Providence experienced hail on Saturday, give us a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4256. 9. We had extreme weather conditions over the weekend in a notice, a weather notice issued at 2 p.m. on March 2024. It read, partially, residents are advised to refrain from traveling along roadways and remain indoors during the time periods for the respective areas mentioned above. Residents should seek safe shelter if severe weather occurs outside the time periods above. Some street flooding and flooding of other low-lying areas, especially in the northwest and central Bahamas, is reportedly expected. Heavy downpours, localized flooding, strong gusty winds, dangerous lightning, hail, and possible waterspouts or tornadic activity may be expected during severe thunderstorms, forecasters predict.
I expected more rain. I expected rain from Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it rain all day Saturday. I expected rain also on Sunday. It didn't happen, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, commerce could continue, business could continue because it didn't rain as much. I see on a headline this lady experienced some kind of tornado at her house.
Right. I have a brief part of that story. Did you find a story on that in today's Guardian?
Where did I see that?
Or Tribune. I know it was reported. I have it here. Two stories reported on our news, but they're voice clips, right? They're video clips. The headline, Family Escapes Tornado's Wrath in South New Providence. Deidre Miller and her family have lived in their South New Providence home for nearly 20 years. But she says even through hurricanes, they've never experienced anything like the devastation they woke up to early this morning.
It was in the Tribune.
Oh, good stuff.
Front page. And it continued on page 3, front page.
Yes, shock as tornado hits woman's home. A tornado ripped through Deidre Miller's South Ocean Boulevard home on Saturday, leaving behind a damaged roof, shattered glass, and torn down doors. Meteorologists had warned the severe weather system over the weekend could produce tornadic activity, but Ms. Miller was shocked to experience the weather event. Stick a pin right there.
I've seen a tornado in the distance in New Providence once. It was a scary thing. It was big and huge. Goes straight up. It actually started off as a water spout.
Right, it was off the shore?
It was in the water.
Yeah.
And it moved off the water onto the land.
Shore. Yeah.
And I was working over PI again.
Mm-hmm.
I came from the Port of Ski Dock area, and it transferred onto the mainland Paradise Island. That was scary.
Go ahead. It started...
Underwater,
but inland. So it started in between Paradise Island and New Providence.
Yes, in the water first.
Right. But yeah. I'm saying, see, I can imagine it started in the open water.
Mm.
But imagine it started in a channel.
Yeah, it came down from the sky because we've been watching
it
the sky.
It touched down.
It touched down. It was in the water itself.
Right.
A big spiraling thing, right? And then you see it moving. And it move around the boats and you see things flying all over the place. And then it went across the channel onto the mainland, Paradise Island, and finished by the living quarters, condominiums over PI by Atlantis. Mm-hmm. It's finished over there.
All right,
that was scary just to see.
There's also a story coming out of Eleuthera. I'm gonna ask you to go to page 3 in the Tribune and but see.
Before you reach there.
Yeah.
What is the protocol? I've never seen a PSA for Bahamians. What should Bahamians do if they see a large tornado?
That's a part of what I want to talk about,
okay,
right?
Go ahead.
But first, before we go there, I also saw a video on social media being filmed or recorded in Eleuthera. The person says, hey, we're in Tarpon Bay, and they suspect that a tornado or waterspout, what I was seeing, perhaps a waterspout, hit a home in Tarpon Bay, Eleuthera as well. What we do have coming out of Eleuthera on our news is this headline, Eleuthera Island Administrator. There's terrible weather out there at the moment. Over on the island of Eleuthera, adverse weather conditions also creating power outages, localized flooding in various communities, and disruption to services at the airport. So there was an incident with the amount of water on the ground. It could have been a tornado or it could have been a water spout. And so to your point, Mr. Newry, when I read that segment from the Met Office notice issued on the 22nd, I thought to myself immediately, how would I know this if I'm not a part of a digital network that receives or shares notices from the Met office?
When I attended school, that electric school in Miami, all of the phones, I forget the phone, Bell South and one other one, right, would have had up like an alarm notice. And the TV shut off also, right?
Emergency
broadcast
system. Yeah.
Where they announce there's a tornado that's touched down. Be aware. And right, it goes on all the phones. Everything shuts down automatically, right? And they give like advice on where to go inside the house, the bathroom, the tub, under the bed, or whatever it is, right? We have now seen our Met office issuing tornado watch, which is, right? But there's no information on what to do. Do I go underneath a tree? Of course, you can dead, right? But do I go somewhere, go underneath a tree?
What is the protocol? You know? What is the emergency protocol?
Do I stay in the house?
Tornadic activity is happening, right? And how do we know? Are we using we have the Marco alert system. Are we using that system or a similar system to give out, or the NEMA system, right? I didn't get a NEMA alert on my phone this weekend.
Well, just to say where it is, a tornado has been spotted in this particular area. Be cautious.
Right.
Right? So I know, don't go south.
And so here's my thing. I know that we, due to climate change, I mean, due to the evolution of the Earth, we are experiencing extreme weather patterns and conditions, right? Things have shifted. I don't see a recognition of that in government policy, in government speech. I don't see discussions arising from the insurance industry. What if my car or my house windows are severely damaged due to hail? Does my insurance cover that?
People are clear. They'll tell you if it's covered by a hail. And if it's not covered, you have to pay it out of pocket.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if we know that hail is occurring more frequently, surely my insurance, the insurance industry should be preparing new policies that protect us from new features or dynamics in the environment. Mm. I mean, and then, because how do I prove? How do I prove that it was hail that broke up my car window versus I may or may not owe a whole sixth grade class, you know, cup money, and they decided they was going to get back at me and brace up my car with small pieces of ice. I mean, right? Like, what do I do when my car or my home is severely damaged by hail? Do home insurance policies offer protection or offer coverage for damage caused by tornadoes? What do we do?
I don't know. You think about house and property. I think about life, man. I'm trying to save myself. What do I do?
And then secondly, what are the protocols to minimize loss of human life in the instance of a...
Is there any type of tornado shelter?
Wherever there's a hurricane shelter.
We don't have a hurricane shelter in the Bahamas.
There you go. There you go, Mr. Nuri.
You like that trapsy man who said people trying to buy the beachfront property over the hill. And I say, what beachfront property over the hill? You say, there you go.
Give me 200. Give me 200 years.
Oh, God.
Make an investment. In 200 years, it shall mature.
Yeah.
Just like the beach.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a text here. It says, good morning, host. Not sure what vibration you're on at the moment, a.k.a. what we talking about, blessings. But I think Yahuwah, our God, is sending a serious message before hurricane season. It seems we have forgotten him by merging and assisting people who are supposed to him. I think you mean opposed to him. Too much evil in one spot, or I would say dot on the map.
Really?
Yeah, that's okay. I just want to tackle the first half. Yeah, maybe God is sending us a serious message.
Is he Mother Nature?
Like, I mean, for the purposes of this conversation, let's say that
it is God.
God, say, hey, Mother Nature, I need you to go
do a vibe,
wake a vibe for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not a serious warning? Is this not a reminder that you live in a hurricane zone? You live in a zone now where more tornadic and waterspout activity is expected. Surely it is a warning. The question is, who should be listening? And who has the power to create and enforce, or at the very least, facilitate the creation of systems to protect citizens, to enable them to protect themselves?
So would this be NEMA or Minister of Environment?
National Emergency Management Act. The question is, when do they kick in? Do they kick in before the storm or after the storm?
They're under a ministry now, so I'm not sure when they kick in. I think they get instructions. Once they were independent.
So, right, this disaster recovery is post-catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
NEMA is pre-catastrophe and during the catastrophe.
But they now get instructions. Before, they just enact. Now they have a minister to report to.
Don't worry. The instructions have to be bounded by policy.
Mm.
Right, like and legislation.
Mm.
So there is a certain degree of authority and discretion that the agency has within itself.
Who's in charge?
I don't know.
Once upon a time was the captain
of the defense force.
Of NEMA.
Right,
and he dictates, and I use my word dictate, to the defense force and the police officers because it's an emergency now,
mm-hmm.
and say this is what we're doing. I'm the spokesperson.
Right, they become the lead, the country lead in the midst of.
But now it seems like everybody is independent of NEMA. I'm just saying, it don't seem like they're in charge. The captain is no longer in charge. He takes instructions. That's something to interrogate in the future when we're watching to see who's in charge.
And us who's responsible.
Yeah, and directing the actors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a wild, wild weekend. Before we move on to our next story, I want to touch on some things that happened this weekend. But as we sort of end that segment, I'm going to ask you, what's worse? Is it the storm or is it the recovery? Post-storm.
You mean this particular storm or storms in general?
In this particular storm and storms in general in the Bahamas. What's worse, the storm itself or the post-storm recovery?
It's a pre-storm acting, the storm itself, and then the post-storm,
mm-hmm.
right? The storm itself is Mother Nature, and it's me battering down, right? Me battering down. The precursor to the storm, it's me preparing myself and the actors, the government officials and actors, helping me prepare myself by saying the roads, the drains are clear, the trees are trimmed, the
evacuation routes have been...
The
right?
process is there mm-hmm. for me to employ if I want to employ them, right?
Right.
Do I have confidence in that? Not necessarily. And then there's the post recovery where I'm either devastated or I'm disconnected from various resources, light water or gas, et cetera, et cetera. And then I wait on the state actors to plug me back in because there's nothing for me to do,
mm-hmm.
right? So the pre and the post, I am at the whim of the government. However,
in the storm, you're the whim of Mother Nature.
And in the storm, I'm whim of God and myself. If I didn't prepare it or didn't seek shelter, then I will experience the brunt of it.
I remember Hurricane Floyd. Hurricane Floyd was spent 3 days over New Providence, right? It was a very windy storm. It wasn't terribly strong compared to the strongest storms we've had.
Mm.
But I think what was particular about it was the size. It was massive.
Mm.
And in its path, it covered New Providence for 3 days.
Mm.
That was...
Was it a wet storm or a dry storm? I don't remember.
I think it was more of a dry storm.
Okay. Wind then.
But it was the 3 days of storm. Three days in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't come out. Post-storm now, 9 days before we had water return and 14 days before the power returned.
Mm.
Now, that wasn't as bad as the wait post, the recovery time post Matthew,
mm-hmm.
but for what turned out to be a relatively harmless storm, I think, compared to others, particularly Matthew, Dorian, and Andrew, the post-storm recovery was just horrible.
Mm.
I mean, it was horrible.
Have we learned anything since then? To say, well, that if a storm does happen to come along this year, next year, we know that the state has a better response now. We have better equipment, better activities happening. You know, I know we haven't gotten a hurricane shelters yet, but we still have the churches.
Well, listen, right? it's we're approaching the end of March, then we have April, May, and then hurricane season begins in June again.
Yeah.
Right? Do we have a shelter yet?
No.
Okay then. I got a text here that says,
oh, God.
Good morning. The weather was so horrible on Saturday morning. I had to do an airport run at 6 a.m. on my way back home. Visibility was nil. Had to pull on side of road. It was only white ahead of me. Trees had fallen on the road, and one vehicle was in a ditch near LPIA. And then they say hail could have fallen. So let's get to these stories quickly. See, because I realize that we don't have any systems to manage traffic in the roads during a storm outside of the declaration that all roads should be clear, right? When the storm is coming, the person in charge, whether it's the head of NEMA or whomever it is, declares that all souls should be battened down. We haven't gotten that in tune yet. And I think that the lack of protocols and systems have created an environment in which it's likely that vehicular accidents and catastrophes will occur. So here are some things that have happened over the last week involving motor vehicles, whether they are on land or on sea. First story, 22nd of March, coming out of the Nassau Tribune. Two crew members die after incident on vessel moored at Half Moon Key. People on Eleuthera are investigating after an incident that left two crew members of a cruise line dead on Friday. The incident reportedly occurred while the vessel was moored at Half Moon Key in the Eleuthera district. Preliminary reports indicate that sometime around 9:30 a.m., the captain was alerted via the automatic fire alarm system to a malfunction in the ship's engine room. Subsequently, the vessel's fire response team was activated, and on arrival at the engine room, they encountered sweltering condensation as a result of a steam leak, which was immediately rectified. A check was made for the crew members. However, they were found unresponsive with severe burns. Both victims were examined by the district medical doctor and subsequently pronounced dead.
Sad.
Very sad. Condolences to the family of those crew. Another story from the 23rd of March in the Nassau Tribune. Two die in Andrus traffic accident. Police are investigating a fatal crash on Andrus that claimed the lives of two men early on Saturday. The incident occurred shortly before 1 a.m. on Queens Highway south of Stanyard Creek. According to initial reports, a 43-year-old man was driving a red Toyota truck while another man was driving a black Honda vehicle, which was carrying three passengers, one man and two women. When both vehicles collided, police summoned the district medical doctor to the scene, who examined the two injured drivers, found no signs of life, and pronounced them dead. The passengers were transported to the Fresh Creek Medical Clinic for observation and medical treatment. The serious accident reconstruction team from the traffic division in New Providence will travel to the island to conduct further investigations into this incident. Another story, Exuma boating accident, the 24th of March, 2024, in Our News. And I think this story is also in today's paper, in today's Guardian. Read from today's Guardian, tourist dies in Exuma boating incident. Police said a woman who was visiting the Bahamas died during a boating incident on Exuma yesterday. Police said the incident happened in the area of Staniel Key involving two visitors. No further information was released. I also want to touch on three things that I saw that have not been printed in the newspaper yet, or I have not found them yet in today, Monday the 25th's newspapers. First one, I saw a video of what appears to be a collision on Frank Watson Boulevard between a large commercial vehicle hauling fuel or for hauling fuel. I don't know if it had fuel in it at the time of the accident or not. And there was a red private vehicle. I want to use the words sort of crushed, partially crushed on the side of the road. I have seen no formal reporting of what took place or what that video on social media, what that video on social media documented. An incident that I witnessed the aftermath of with my own eyes on Saturday while making my way to the airport Saturday afternoon. There was some sort of accident leaving a Bahama Waste vehicle, I guess, strewn across the median just west of the Blake Road roundabout. I'm not sure if another vehicle was involved in that accident. We, of course, driving in those weather conditions, I observed but maintained my eyes on the road so as not to cause another accident by rubbernecking.
The other day, I was dropping you home. Was it you? Yes, I was dropping you home. And it was really nice home because I had the hazard light on. And you asked me why I had the hazard light on. And I said, I think this is typical. When you read and you can't see, you put on the hazard
light. No, you put on your lights.
So that's why I'm asking this question. Because my lights are on. My lights are always on. It comes on with the car. But I normally put on the hazard light when it's raining hard. And you were saying that, no, the hazard light is not supposed to be on when it's raining hard. And I said, no, I need to flesh this out.
Now, if you are, if your vehicle is not operating properly in the midst of the rainstorm, then you put on your hazard lights along with your lights. But if visibility is reduced because of because it's overcast or the sun is blocked, your car lights you turn on.
So I put on the high beam because its visibility is low. And then I put on the hazard light. That means don't come close to my car.
That's not what putting the hazard lights on mean.
What does the hazard light mean then?
Hazard lights mean that you're having an issue with your car.
Yeah, it's raining. That's the issue.
No, that's not the...
And I can't see.
That's not the issue with your car. That you can't see puts the car at risk of damage, but that's not an issue with your car. Furthermore, if you can't see...
I can't see properly. I can see.
If you cannot see properly, you can't see. And you're supposed to pull your car to the side of the road when it's most convenient, right? And possible. So what that means is if your visibility is reduced and you can't see to the point where you feel the need to put on your hazard lights, what you're supposed to do as the driver is find a safe space to pull entirely off the side of the road and park your car until visibility returns or you can see. That's your obligation as a driver.
I'm not sure you understand what hazard lights is for. That's just for when it's raining. Surely. I'm serious. When it's raining, you turn on your hazard light.
No.
No?
And if you find that your visibility is reduced in the rain or it's overcast, then you have an obligation as a driver, you have a moral and I think an ethical obligation to go and get your eyes tested. For surely, the rain isn't a problem. Your eyes are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, someone says, no, Aaron, if you cannot find a place to pull over in blinding rain, I put on my hazard lights too.
See?
Where are your car lights? You put on your car lights.
You know, the car lights are always on.
No, the car lights aren't always on in the daytime.
No?
No. Only modern cars have an auto light function. You still have to turn the auto light function on in the car.
Okay, but that doesn't turn off on my car. It comes on automatically. But I put on the hazard light because it's raining. Especially if it's storming. The hazard light means don't come close to my car. It's raining.
No, I tell you, the only instance in which you should extrapolate that hazard lights means don't come to my close to my car is that you should see that this person doesn't know when to use their hazard lights and not when not to use their hazard lights and probably don't know a lot about driving. And you should maintain a safe distance from them because they're probably going to do more foolishness on the road than just have on their hazard lights for no reason.
Hmm.
Before we say that hazard lights are to be used when it's blinding, rain.
I think it's a rule, by the way.
No.
No.
Go get your eyes tested. In fact, we need to begin lobbying the ministries responsible to implement a regular vision test for drivers. Especially since the government doesn't want to light the roads properly. I mean, they don't want to.
Our numbers are 323-6232-325-4315-325-4259. And on the family items at 300-5720. Call and tell Aaron the hazard light is for winning.
Somebody said that's to stop someone from running into the back of you.
Yeah, the people who can't see from the rain.
The people who can't see are not supposed to be on the road. And don't tell them hazard lights are there to help them to see. Jesus is here to help them to see their obligation to other humans, which is if you can't see, park your car. Better yet, don't get in it at all. Wait until visibility clears. Let's go to the phone line. I got a producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Guys, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Morning, Mr. Neary.
I know you turn on your hazard light.
No, sir. Absolutely not. And I wear glasses. Because I know my hazard light is when my car is in trouble, then I turn my hazard light on and try to pull over at the nearest point or take my time and go. However, when you turn on your headlight, your backlight automatically comes on. So that red light in the back of you is to show people not to run up in the back of you. You don't need the hazard light for that. When you turn your headlight on, remember now, your backlight comes on automatically.
Okay.
So that's the light for the person behind you to see you, and the person coming in front of you will see you through your headlights. That's what I use in the rain.
Yours just drive different.
And I'm wearing glasses.
Listen, thank you, cousin.
Okay.
Look, I couldn't find my glasses for a whole year. I didn't drive at night for a whole year.
What?
Drivers have to be responsible. Mm-hmm. Getting behind the wheel of a car. Listen, I've been waiting all my life to be old enough to say this. Driving is not a game. It's not entertainment. It's not recreation. Driving as a utilitarian, it's a utility. You drive to get from A to B. That's the purpose of driving. That's what it is, right? I get a text here. Good morning, folks. While we're on the topic of roads, there needs to be better notice of road closures, especially visual warnings before people reach to find a certain road is closed. Good morning, Ministry of Works and all of your subcontractors, including all of our private and semi-private utility service providers. This happened to me yesterday evening whilst traveling Frank Watson Highway or Boulevard heading in from West Bay Street. We arrived at the basin of the first hill heading south to find the road was closed for construction. No warning prior, just orange cones when you arrive. I and a line of other cars had to turn around after making a long drive there. A little extra warning from at least by Mount Pleasant or even the actual road leading in from the corner would have been nice. You don't like excitement. The government say, let me give you some spontaneity, adventure, and entertainment in your life, and you don't like it. I don't like it either, quite frankly. I don't like it either. And these entities have obligations that they just refuse to fulfill. Text here. Oh, wait, that text was agreeing with you. I almost missed that, Mr. Newry. The text said, I agree with Cecil about hazard lights because sometimes high beams make it worse for incoming drivers to see and navigate forward. You have a vision problem. Also, we have another technical issue that we need to deal with. Lights are not set in properly. Lights, when lights are being replaced, right, they're not installed properly. The bumpy roads, the light infrastructure drops, it dips. Lights are not installed properly, and we have a vision crisis in the country. He says, Aaron, I assure you, most people agree with Cecil's opinion on hazard lights. It doesn't matter that most people agree with your opinion,
sir. It's a law someplace.
Aaron, your opinion holds gravity in a utopia with 100% perfect drivers. I say that they write the law taking into consideration everything that needs to be taken into consideration. Here we go. Thanks for buses on routes and areas where population lives. Thanks for drivers who have radios. Unfortunately, at 10:23... Oh, Texas, sorry, you were critiquing me. My bad, my bad. News reported many traffic accidents and fatalities recently. It is 10:20. Is your program for 1 or 2 hours? Thanks for buses on routes and areas where population lives. Thanks for drivers who have radio. Unfortunately, a 10:23 station was switched. But thank you for sending the text anyway, texter. If this issue is not concerning to you, I can understand that. And I apologize if I'm boring you with this. Another text, good morning. I think he could use his hazard light at this time, Aaron. I would use mine.
There you go.
Another text has said, Aaron is correct. Yes. Another text, last time I saw serious weather change like this in Nassau was the day PLP became a new government. An electric storm ripped every paraphernalia off the poles.
It was a great storm when they won the election.
All right, let's go to the producer. Let me know when we could go to the caller. High beams are for dark, unlit streets. Yeah, not your high beams. You turn on your lights. High beams are for dark, unlit streets.
All of NASA words, roads are unlit, man. It's dark.
Says, Aaron, you're right. You're not supposed to use your hazards in heavy rain. It makes the turn signal inoperable, and people won't know when you're planning to change lanes. You use your headlights in the rain and hazards if you're broken down. In the U.S., we use hazard lights if we have to brake suddenly to prevent a rear-end collision. So you don't have it on all the time, but you put it on when you know you're about to slam brakes, which is difficult to do if you, like, have a cell phone in your hand.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Hello. You are correct about the hazard light.
Thank you, sir.
But also, you know, you're not supposed to blow your horn. When I did my driver's test, I was given a little pamphlet code. After 12 midnight, you shouldn't be blowing your horn. You're not supposed to park no more than 15 feet from a corner.
Yep.
You're not supposed to park on the brink of a hill.
Or on a sidewalk.
Or on, geez. I see, and these bus
suspended
drivers.
That sidewalk.
Or, but no, we didn't suspend what, how?
Police is used to park on the sidewalk.
That doesn't mean it's suspended. It means the police are ignoring the law that they're supposed to enforce.
Exactly. And these bus drivers only put on their seatbelt when they come downtown. So we have a lot of work to do. But I guess because the country is in regression, this is where we're going. And until we elect leaders who are serious about enforcing the laws, we're going to continue to go into the abyss. It's as simple as that.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
I saw a video this weekend of a convoy of tourists on Jeeps. I mean, it was like a spring break party. It looked fabulous. I wanted to be there. It looked like a good time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, well, all of them tourists on the road at the same time, who's paying attention? First of all, do we breathalyze guests before we give them control of an ATV or a Jeep?
Of course not.
Do we require them to wear proper shoes as opposed to slippers and sandals?
Of course not.
When the driver is operating the ATV or the Jeep?
Let me pause you there. Is it illegal to drink and drive in the Bahamas?
It is.
You sure?
Yes.
I thought the law is you cannot be intoxicated to drive, which is different from drinking and driving.
You can't have an open container.
Bahamas?
I think the most recent, I think, I stand to be corrected. I think the most recent amendment made it so that you can't have an open container in your car.
But can, so if you finish drinking, you can go and drive. But you just can't drive drunk.
You're not supposed to drive intoxicated.
Okay.
Right? So there's supposed to be a blood alcohol lower limit. And once you pass that lower limit, then you are deemed driving while intoxicated.
And is Guinness an alcoholic beverage?
Yes, it is. Guinness is alcohol.
Oh, that's a tonic, man. Because I know the bus drivers tend to use Guinness to keep them up to drive properly.
And not sleep.
Because they stop at the corner and to the bar and get 2 Guinness as they drive. And nobody says anything inside the car.
We're going to presume, until proven otherwise, that the 2 Guinness are for the boy who has collected change when you come in the bus. Right? Because we know that no bus owner would allow their driver operators to drive public transportation intoxicated. And we know that all bus owners take their responsibility to the public seriously. We know that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And if you're the driver, can I have my 2 Guinness next to you? Is that an open container? Because you're driving, I'm drinking. I mean, you're driving, I'm drinking.
See, if I were a police officer, I pulled up to a vehicle and I observe open alcohol containers. And I may even observe instantly that they are not within, like it's a bus, they're not near the bus driver. I'm still going to take the time to attempt to assess. If I don't have a breathalyzer kit available to me, I'm going to take the time to assess whether this driver may or may not be intoxicated. And I imagine even though people on the bus are in a rush, they would appreciate knowing whether their driver is intoxicated or not.
I mean, and this time I say our numbers again, right? Has anyone ever seen a Bahamian police officer issued a breathalyzer test? Like, oh, you're driving by and you say, oh yeah, he just issued that driver a breathalyzer test. I'm not sure if we have that technology here in the Bahamas. Have you ever seen it?
You mean the...
whatever thing they put over your mouth.
You could install in the vehicle?
What?
No, when in the States, if you get...
I talk about NASA stuff.
Right, the device. Explain to me again with the device.
I want to know, have you seen a Bahamian police issue out a breathalyzer...
breathalyzer test?
Test to anybody?
No.
Never?
No.
Do we have that mechanism, that technology here to say, hey, I need you to breathe into that?
I thought we passed the law. I'm not sure if it's gazetted. Maybe it's sitting right there with all the public disclosures from 2008 waiting to be gazetted.
Interesting.
It has, possibly, right?
Yeah.
I do remember, though, on air, someone calling in and saying the reason why they don't employ or implement those tests is because if the driver who's responsible for the accident is found to be intoxicated, then their insurance will no longer be valid. It'll be void.
Really?
And so the person who's responsible for the accident won't have the insurance to take care of the people that they possibly injured in said accident. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. But that's just anecdotal. That's just what somebody called in and said.
I didn't know
that. That's anecdotal. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
And Nuri.
Blessings.
You're talking about emergency weather and things like that.
Pardon? Emergency weather?
Yeah, you're talking about weather announcement and bad weather?
Yeah, we did, at the top of the show, we interrogated whether we are using the technology available to us to advise citizens of extreme weather conditions.
No, we are not. The sad thing about it, the National Voice and the National Television don't have a backup service. Like, you watched Florida yesterday. You watched the flood, and you watched the weather anonymous all night. And then the weather go. Our emergency department needs to work with the National Voice. So one of these voices got to be the National Voice to say, look here, the public is having a bad weather tornado. Then next, you need to have old staff to wake and give the people information all night. Because people wake night, Aaron Green. People wake in hotels.
Mm-hmm.
People need to come home. And people need to know what's going on, whether they should stay at a hotel, what have you. We don't take emergency serious. Or do we take hurricane serious?
We don't take hurricane serious either.
We take it hurricane serious. Coming. But every area of NEMA, whether it be hurricane, tornado, it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. Florida do it every day, and I watched it last night.
Yeah.
And I feel sad. Everybody on automaton, you put on Zenith, automaton music all night, automaton. I remember the old general manager used to have, like, Scott Richards and all them waking 12 midnight to 6 a.m. That's when it's bad weather.
Yeah.
You know, come on, man. We need to wake up and use common sense, Aaron Green, Nuri.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Have a good day.
You too. I'll touch on two articles quickly before I go to the text. We got lots of texts. In last week's papers, from the 21st of March, 24, union president agrees with 10% fare increase for taxi drivers. Bahamas Taxi Cab Union President Wesley Ferguson said he agrees with the 10% fare increase for taxi drivers, arguing that it will be mainly levied on the tourists and won't come from the public treasury.
He's just trying to sell his point.
I mean, the same rate applies to Bahamians, though, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what my concern is.
That's why you say mainly.
Politicians don't pay, I mean, they have their own blue plate.
But didn't they just get
a red plate taxi? They did. They were lobbying, actually, for 20% increase this time, but they said they will do with the 10%.
But they just got an increase. This hasn't been 5 years yet.
I can't afford to catch taxi, Mr. Newry.
Some taxi people are greedy.
I can't afford to catch taxi. Another story. Fare increase not enough, says bus drivers union president. Jo Beth Colby, Minister of Transport and Energy, said in Parliament yesterday that in an effort to enhance the busing sector, her ministry will be hosting a town hall meeting for the bus franchise holders, the public, and public bus drivers in early April. You think holding the town hall meeting in and of itself is the solution? I just checking. Don't watch nothing. Let me continue reading. She said the meeting will be to discuss the upcoming bus fare increase as well as other plans to enhance the sector. She noted that particularly there's a need for better and additional bus routes and the gazetting of bus stops. You know the bus stop by Charlotte Street on Shirley Street?
What do you mean by gazetting of bus stops?
It means like this is a proper bus stop. This is where the bus is supposed to stop.
And they need to gazette that? You just don't build a bus stop?
You think, does that cause bus drivers to stop there? Anyway, you know the bus stop right in front of registrar's office, like by Charlotte and
yes.
Bank of the Bahamas, right
in,
there
in
by
the
Charlotte
road.
Street.
Yeah, the middle road.
It is on the western side of the Charlotte Street. And
it's on the southern side
of the road.
Of the road.
But it's on the western side of Charlotte Street,
okay.
Right? But the pedestrian crossing is on the eastern side of Charlotte Street. And so here's what happens. The bus stops at the bus stop. People get off the bus, but they refuse to walk a few feet to the pedestrian crossing where they could cross the road safely. Mm. They decide they can cross the road in front of the bus or behind the bus, but not on the pedestrian crossing. Perhaps we need gazetted bus stops so that pedestrian crossings will be placed appropriately near the bus stop. Rudolph Taylor, president of Bahamas Unified Bus Drivers Union, told Guardian Business that the 25-cent increase presented to the busing industry is not enough, adding that when the rate was agreed to, things were, quote-unquote, much different. He says, we have been waiting 16 years for a 25-cent increase.
They ain't worrying about poor people at all, you know. The minimum wage, first of all, you have to establish who takes the bus.
Poor people.
Poor people take the bus, right?
And little children.
And little children. And we know that we are living beneath the livable wage.
Mm-hmm.
It's about $300 below the livable wage.
Mm-hmm.
We have the working poor who are making $250, who can't pay rent, who can't pay mortgage, who can't live and survive.
Can't get personal insurance.
With $250. And now they want to tax the people who are making $250? These people are sinister.
We have been, now see, when you hear the sentence though, right? We have been waiting 16 years for a 25-cent price increase. That is outdated by now. So I feel you. It appears as if the bus user and the bus drivers have been pitted against each other when the state that regulates public transportation could provide a multitude of solutions that solves the problem for everybody involved.
We need public transportation, man.
I mean, we need properly functioning and regulated public transportation. Harrison Moxie, president of the United Public Transportation Company, said he was advised that the town hall meeting is being planned for April 4th. Quote, we're going for the 25-cent increase across the board, so it will be now $1.50 for adults, $1 for seniors, and 75 cents for children, said Moxie. He added, we don't expect any pushback from the meeting on April 4th once we know that the 25-cent increase will be across the board. Quote, the public expected it. Actually, some of them have been giving us the additional 25 cents without us asking for it.
Lies. They tell us we can't go on the bus. And they're charging us an additional 25 cents. We've been complaining about it for a while.
There you go.
No one voluntarily gives you extra money.
No.
The economy ain't that prosperous.
We ain't plump again. The public expected it, he said. So that's where we're at with it right now. We will be grateful for it, and it's something we have been looking forward to for a long. What do I get for my 25-cent increase? That's what I want to know. What do I get? Like you say, do I get properly gazetted bus stops where the bus driver is required to stop, or he will be penalized if he passes bus users on the road at that bus stop? Will we get covered bus stops so we could wait for the bus in the rain? Is that possible? Is that possible? Here. Morning. Another text. You don't have to turn your headlights on. There is a running light on the car so other drivers can identify there's a vehicle. The same two small lights by the headlights. You actually blind the other driver with headlights in heavy rain. So there's it's the first click. The first click turns on the two little side lights.
Yeah.
And the little, I think they turn on the two side lights in the back.
Okay,
right?
First click.
First click. or a second click. Again, I think a bigger part of the problem is that we have a vision crisis, and it's time to evolve policy to require regular vision tests. But see, Tech said, that's my opinion. There, that's my opinion. Mm. There's a story from about 100 years ago where hail wiped out all of Spanish Wells farms. Interesting. Another text, ask him how will the other drivers know when he's going to make a right or left turn if you have your hazards on, Mr. Newry.
I normally turn it off and turn on the indicator afterwards. Click.
But you can't see it with the hazard lights on.
No, I turn the hazard light off when I turn it.
Yeah, okay.
And then turn on the indicator.
I feel you.
Then turn back on the hazard light afterwards.
You're going to confuse somebody who's on their phone and not really paying attention.
They should be far away from my car.
They shouldn't be on their phone at all, Mr. Newry.
Because they have see the hazard light. When they see my hazard light, that means don't come close to my car.
Text, I turn on my hazard light so that all of those non-insurance having no valid license, matchbox, bubblegum, Japanese car drivers stay away from my car.
There you go.
You think that's going to cause them to stay away from your car?
Any minute now, this car.
They can say, this person could see. I can stick as close to them as possible. Mm. Producer, take us to the end of the show, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. Could I beg upon you, compel upon you a little space to read the rest of these texts in your hour?
You can read the text.
Why, thank you. Producer, I don't know, play Taxi Driver by Ronnie Butler or play I'm a Boatman by KB. Bloody, I need you to re-record your version of I'm a Boatman from the Bahama Rock concert. That's a sweet, sweet performance. I can read some text while the producer's getting ready. The text says, by the way, does anyone know if they filled in the sauna on East Bay Street? Someone had a white bucket in it yesterday. Good attempt, but not the best. You can't see that in dim light. Also, can road crews please put some non-washable fill in these ditches they dig up if rain is imminent? It doesn't take a genius to know rain will wash away all the sand, leaving a dangerous one-foot invisible drop minimum in the road like yesterday. Texters, I beg Mr. Newry's grace and patience to let me read the rest of these texts on the other side of the hour as he starts Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Before we go, just in case, I want to say this. It appears as if there's a sinkhole developing on East Bay Street in the right lane in front of Wild Time Restaurant by Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza. It's a lovely dip. I don't need a roller coaster ride. Just go right there. A little 25 miles an hour. Have me a nice little swoop, whoop. You guys, stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Stay tuned to the Met Office if you're on social media. Follow one of their social media pages so you can have access to important weather notices as soon as they're issued. Thanks for tuning in to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We get to the rest of these texts on the other side of the hour. Have a great day.
Like them, I am a poor man. Took a man to touch a corner, knife to my throat, I was a goner. Didn't see no dog, but heard a bark was me. Yeah, when I was a taxi driver, I was a deep sea diver.